Good morning. Welcome to the Life Church at the Santa Ponsa Community Church. Whether you are visiting for the first time, or you're just tapping in, or whether you live here in Santa Ponsa and you're a part of the church, we just want to welcome you. And obviously, this new way of doing church for us. At the moment, we are quarantined. We're quarantined because we want to help in stopping the spread of the virus, which actually is just sweeping through the world and is wrecking havoc, both emotional havoc, life, the taking of many, many lives. On Friday, 916 people died in one day in Italy, and 760 people died in one day in Spain on Friday as well. It is just unprecedented, and numbers are climbing all over the world, and it's shaking our emotions, it's shaking our health, it's shaking our loved ones, it's shaking the economy. There are people that we are dealing with here on the island where they have no job. The whole summer seems to be ruined, and we find ourselves doing online school, online services, and we are allowed to go out just to do shopping or go to the pharmacy or go to the doctor, but that's about it. And here we are, and we find ourselves in a situation where many people are anxious. Many people are very anxious. And today I wanna share with you. I want to share with you about Him who is unshakable. That person that no matter what it is that we go through in life, there are certain things that just, no matter what we go through, just can never be taken away from us. And in number 6, the Lord told Moses, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you should bless the children of Israel. You should say to them," and this was every single day, "the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And God said to Moses, "And they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." In a sense, God is saying to Moses, "I want my children, I want my people to hear this day in and day out. Never to forget it." We have such a tendency to make a caricature of God. We have such a tendency of just being moved from who He really is, attacked in our minds. And God, knowing this, tells Moses, "I want my people to understand who it is that I am, that I want to bless them." The Lord wants every single one of His children with confidence in Him that He is a blessing God. Paul had this confidence. Paul said, "What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You know, as we find ourselves in these circumstances, we can be filled with fear in our hearts, with anxiety, and believe that somehow or another, that maybe we did something, so therefore, because we did this one thing, God is angry with us, and now it's payday. Now He comes, and the reality is that He is doing this because He wants to judge us. And, you know, Paul, no matter what it is that he went through, and he went through a lot of things in life. He was stoned, left for dead. You would get on a boat with them, and he was shipwrecked. He was night and day in the sea, not knowing where the boat would take him, just tossed by the wind. And he was beaten several times. He himself says, I was in danger of robbers, in dangers of the sea, in dangers of so many things. And yet he says, what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It is something that we have to get out of our mind, that if God is blessing us, then nothing will ever happen to us, that everything will be easy. We need to allow God to fill us through His Word with a godly confidence that He is a blessing God. Jesus declared on the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Many of you are here, and many of you might have lost your business, or maybe it's in the brink of losing it, or maybe you're not even going to be able to get started, or maybe you'll be fired, or maybe you won't get the job. There are so many things, and you might be wondering, man, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I even going to feed my family? How am I going to go through this stuff? And we can be hit in our hearts with anxiety, with worry, with fear. But look what Jesus said. He said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, but seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. When we believe that God wants to bless us, we have this great ability to be able to be shaken in ourselves and say, you know what? Maybe I just need to be readjusted. I need to seek the Lord. I need to draw near to Him. Maybe He's shaken these things so that I will realize that my ultimate provider is not my business, that my ultimate provider and blessing is not my job, that my ultimate provider is not my health, but my ultimate blessing, the blesser of my soul, is God. And that as we give thanks to Him, as we seek Him, as we get to know Him, we realize that we seek first His kingdom, and everything else, we trust Him, that will be added unto us. Psalm 37 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. And we would do good to speak to our anxious souls. Just like David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Maybe you have ceased to live daily in that expectation in your life that God, regardless of the circumstances, is a blessing God. That His desire is to do good to us. It is interesting to me that God said to Abraham, get out of your country. I mean, it was so easy to live in a city, in the safety of a city. And He says to him, get out, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And no doubt, I mean, Abraham received the blessing of God. And as he left in chapter 12, in chapter 13, there was a famine. There was a lack. He didn't cease to be blessed. He just needed to move. And he went to Egypt. And there was that shaking of circumstances where he ended up in Egypt. And he didn't cease to have the blessing of God. It was just a circumstance, something that happened. And we need to remember in our life that God is a blessing God. The second truth which this passage shows us in number 6 is that Moses told Aaron that he was to declare that God was not only a blessing God, but that He was also a keeping God. The Lord bless you and keep you. And you know, in Psalm 21, it is amazing how many times this word keep shows up. In Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Keep. To keep means to watch over, to guard, to hedge about. If I ask you, please, could you keep my children? It would mean, can you please watch over them? Can you make sure that they are okay? Jesus, when he was leaving earth, he says, behold, I go, I leave the world. Keep these. And we need to realize that God wants to, he is our keeper. He will keep us spiritually. He will keep us physically. And he will keep us even through death. Whitfield, in the 1700s, who ministered in Great Britain, he, and I believe he also went to the United States, he said, I am immortal until my time comes. And you know, there is a tendency when we think of God keeping us, when we read Psalm 21, there is a tendency to think that to keep means to keep us from things. But I believe that if we're just honest with the characters of the Bible and with how God dealt with those people in the scriptures, if we just interpret the Bible through the people that are in the Bible, we will actually see that God actually didn't really keep them from much, but actually kept them through things. I mean, we could go through Abraham. I mean, Abraham, for example, there comes that thing with Lot and Abraham. They were going to choose the land, and Lot chose the best land. And Abraham was left with the worst land. And God kept them through that. We see that he kept them through the famine. We see we can go to, for example, another person. We can go through Moses, how he had to flee and be alone in the wilderness for 40 years after he was exiled from Egypt. And then he goes back and he has to face all those trials and going through the sea, being chased, and then in the wilderness with no food and with no water. And you know what? In all those difficult circumstances, even in the complaining of all the people, God didn't deliver Moses necessarily or keep him from those difficulties. He kept him through those difficulties. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how the things that they went through. And God didn't keep them from the fire, but he kept them through the fire. God didn't keep Daniel from the lions. He kept them through the lions. And on and on and on, we can see the people of God that God has blessed and God is keeping, that he doesn't keep them from things, but through things. So let me ask you so a question. If it was so with the people in the scriptures, why would it be any different with us? Because the temptation is when something difficult occurs in our lives, we incorrectly conclude that God has somehow failed in his promise to keep us. However, when God speaks of keeping, the word also carries the idea of through. He is every bit our keeper when he allows us difficulty and keeps us through the difficulty than when he keeps us from the difficulty. The great thing is that he brings us to the other end. How little we would know of God's power if we never went through anything. And you know, I just think of Naomi. I mean, there was a famine. They lost everything, just like it's going to happen. I mean, many people say that right now, this crisis is going to be worse than 2008. In 2008, people became desperate. In London, people were jumping from the business tower there because they lost everything in one go. Noemi had lost everything. So her and her husband, they moved over to Moab. And then they get to Moab and she loses her husband and her two children, her two sons. And you see the pain to the point where that she said, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And you know, in English, bitter, when you say the Lord has dealt bitterly with me, it just sounds so bad. In Spanish, it doesn't sound so much. When you say, oh, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me, it's like sour. It's just been sore to my soul. Not necessarily pointing the finger, just a grieving of the sourness of the pain that one has gone through. But you look at the life of Naomi, how eventually it became pleasant. God kept her through those circumstances. And we must believe. We must believe, like we said last week, that He will get us through this. This is terrible. This is unprecedented circumstances. The closest thing to this is World War II. The closest thing to this in the same element of medicine, it would be the Spanish flu. But we must believe that God is not necessarily going to keep us from this, but He's going to keep us through this. And we will come out on the other side knowing God's power in a better way, knowing God's character in a better way, knowing God's presence in a more intimate way, knowing God's love in a more personal way. But it doesn't stop there. God, it says in the blessing, it says, for when you bless my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And our God is a smiling God. His face shines when He thinks of us believers, but when He thinks of you who do not know Him yet, when he thinks of the potential that He wants to bless you, that He wants to keep you, that He wants you to know His character, that He's not against you, that actually the truest friend that you have on earth is God. He is the one that tells you the truth. He's the one that wants to deliver you. He's the one that wants to bless you. And He is the one who smiles. His face smiles at us. He wants us to know Him like that. I remember growing up, my mom and my dad separated when I was very little. And I was raised by my grandmother pretty much until I was 13. I mean, for some years my mom was there, but then because of the separation, she had to work. So I was mostly with my grandmother. And man, anyone that knows that has ever been to my grandmother's house when she was alive, you would know, man, there was a big picture. There was a big picture the size, probably a meter and a half by a meter and a half of me in the middle of the living room. And then there was more pictures of me. And there was more pictures of me. The whole house was filled with pictures of me. And when I came through the door, all she could do, in the mess that I was in, and how chaotic my life was, all she could do was smile at me. She loved me. God's face shines with pleasure towards us as His people. He isn't angry with us, and He isn't disappointed in us. He isn't a God who by nature is grumpy and unhappy with us until we do something nice. It's not like He's sitting there like, oh, now you did something nice, so now I'm going to smile. No, His whole being, particularly as we are open to receive Him and believe in His whole being, as we receive Him and believe in Him, His whole being is smiling at us. not because of how righteous we are, but because of his great love for us. He is for us. Paul wrote, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" We know from Scripture that we have the world, the flesh, and the devil against us. But God is not against us. He is for us. And maybe you are listening today and you don't know him yet. He's out there. You don't really know his character. Your life hasn't really ever experienced him. But you know what? I just think of the scripture when the Lord appeared to Paul in Corinth and he said, "Man, keep speaking to the city. Keep speaking. Don't be afraid, for I have many people in this city." And some of you who are listening today, you will believe. And I want you to know that God's smile is upon you. That he rejoices, not like a father with his children, but more like a grandfather with his children. You know, man, I come in the house and I'm all grumpy with the kids. "Hey, do this." Particularly now, they say that our kids might not even go back to school until September. The Ministry of Education just said she's going to try that they go back for 2 weeks. I'm just like, can I bring them tomorrow? But because with our own kids, it's different. We have to put boundaries there. We have to keep certain disciplines there. But with grandparents, it's just all smiles. That's what God is. That's what is God's disposition towards us. And if he's like that with us, who can be against us? You know, just today I spoke to somebody on the phone and they thought that I was upset with them somehow. And they said to me, "I feel like I'm not really a part of things. I feel like I haven't really connected. Like there's people that connect with one another, but I haven't really, I'm not part of the group." And I told her, you know what? One, God loves you. Two, we love you. But three, we don't just love you, we like you. And the person just began to cry over the phone. And sometimes when it comes to God, we believe that he bears with us. We don't realize that he loves us and that he doesn't just love us, but he actually likes us. How do you see God looking at you? In these difficult circumstances, if we on top of the difficulties that are going on, we think that God is against us, how will we lift our head? The beauty is to realize that no matter what the circumstances, that his smile is upon us. It was Eric Liddell, the Scottish Olympic runner, that they asked him about, you know, about running and being called to ministry, and because he wanted to be a missionary, and his sister wanted him to be a missionary, but he also loved the Olympics, and he said this: "God has made me for a purpose, and that is China. But God made me fast for a reason, and that is the Olympics. And when I run, I feel the pleasure of God." Do you feel his pleasure upon your life? Because I tell you, he wants you to. He wants you to know the beautiful person of Jesus Christ. He who came, he who lived the most amazing life that has ever lived, he who lived the most astonishing death that has ever died, he who loved even in that death, he who rose so that we would be raised, he who died so we would be forgiven, he who ascended so he could come back for us. What an amazing smile we have upon us. God is a blessing God. God is a keeping God. And God is a smiling God. But God is also a gracious God. He wants us, his people, he wants us to realize, to be reminded that he is gracious. That his nature towards us as his children, that we would know daily his grace. The There's a song that I used to sing all the time in the morning, which is a psalm. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to gaze upon His majesty, to proclaim His love in the morning and His faithfulness at night. Oh, it is good to worship and praise. Oh, it is good to worship and praise the Lord. But in a sense, that song would always remind me in the morning that God is a gracious God. And in the evening, I would get to the night and I would meditate on the fact that He is a faithful God. And God wants you to know His graciousness every day, to wake up in the morning with a sense that He wants to bless you, not because of you, but in spite of you. Not because you're so holy, but because in spite of our failures, in spite of our weakness, He is a gracious God. And you know, some people think that God blesses them because of them, and they think that they are just great, holy, wonderful Christians. But I think the best place that we can come to in our life is when we realize that we don't have it, but that He is a gracious God in spite of us. And you know what? In our lives, the difference between conviction and condemnation is something that we need to get quite clear in our life. Condemnation is that where we realize our sin. We see our errors. We see the stuff that goes on in our hearts, the conniving, the harshness. We see the stuff in our hearts. But the difference between condemnation and conviction is condemnation is what the devil reminds us of that and pushes us from God. Conviction is when God makes us aware. And you know what? He makes us aware of our anxiety, our lack of faith, our lack of trust. He makes us aware of our worry. He makes us aware of the lack of diligence in our life. He makes us aware of how we trusted in all these other things rather than Him, but never to condemn us. The devil might remind us just to condemn us, but conviction, what that does in our life is the Holy Spirit draws near and He shows us, yes, man, you really have been living just for yourself. And you really thought that the bank was your security or your business was your security, that this was going to be like that for years to come. And the Holy Spirit reminds us, oh boy, you really trusted in the wrong thing. But conviction does this. But you know what? Come to Me. You've dug for yourself, you know, cisterns, the broken cisterns that hold no water. You forgot Me, the fountain of living water, but come to Me that you may drink that living water. And conviction always draws us to His graciousness, always draws us to His keeping, always draws us to the fact that He's blessing us. And we need to be very aware of that, particularly in these difficult circumstances. Why would God remind His people every day that He is a gracious God? Because we have such a tendency to think that He's against us. He is a gracious God. And He is a peace-giving God. You know, it says that he is a peace-giving God, which means that, oh, I lost a bit of my notes here. That He may give you peace. And that is that peace that surpasses understanding. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's got this amazing ability. God has this amazing ability. He will keep in shalom, shalom, in peace, peace, those whose mind is set on Him. And He's got this amazing ability in the most anxious of circumstances to enter our circumstances, just like He did in that storm with the disciples when they despaired. And Jesus just said, "Why? Where's your faith?" And He said, "Peace, be still." And that storm became still. And He's got this amazing ability. Of course, He's got the ability to change the circumstances. But I think that would almost be like the easy thing. I think the amazing ability that God has and Jesus brings to our life is that thing of, despite the circumstances, to fill our hearts with a peace which our racing minds cannot comprehend. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Sometimes we want to analyze everything. Sometimes we want to understand everything. But notice this, the peace that surpasses understanding. In Habakkuk 3, it says, "Though there be nothing in the barns, though everything is just empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." And the sense is that no matter what is happening, I will just rejoice in Him. And He wants to give you that peace and joy in your heart. The question is, will you allow Him to? Will you allow Him to invade your heart? How could we do this? Well, number one would be to open our hearts. And some of you guys might say, "Only God can open the heart." I understand. Only God can open the heart. But as God is opening the heart, the Bible wouldn't say, "Do not harden your hearts today if you hear His voice." And I know that He's speaking to you. I know that He wants to give you peace. The question is as He's tenderizing, as He's softening, as He's transforming your heart, will you open it? Will you say, "Yes, Lord, I want You, whatever it is that You want to do with me. I'm not really sure who You are, Jesus. I've heard of You, and I've seen You in churches. I've seen pictures of You, and I know You probably didn't even look like that. And I've read books, and National Geographic did things about You, but programs about You. But I've heard things about You, but I'm open for You through Your Word to show me who You are." Would you do that today? Would you pray? Would you say, "Lord, I'm afraid. I'm anxious. Yes, Lord, I've trusted everything but You." Would you be able to be honest with yourself and confess to the Lord, "You know what? I thought that my life was in my hands." And if the coronavirus has done anything, it's shown us that our lives are in anything but our hands. Of course, we will make great advance medically. Of course, we'll probably find a vaccine and we'll probably find a solution that will reduce the potential harm that could happen. But this is just a little test. Like in the fire drills when I was in school, the bell rang and we all went out and they told us, "This is not a fire, it's just a test. Now you can go back in." This is a little bit of a wake-up call for us to realize that in one moment, everything can be shaken. And it would be great for us to confess, "Lord, we've trusted other things. and confess it and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. And I realize that there's no other place for forgiveness except that place on the cross where you at the cross took all my weakness, where you took all my failures, where you took all my rebellions, where you took all my punishment, everything. I don't understand why it had to be there. I don't understand why it had to be that way. But obviously, Jesus, if you went there and you said there was no other way, then it must have been like that. And if you believe that Jesus died for you and you receive this and you say, Lord, and I believe that you rose. I don't know you so well, but reveal yourself to me. Oh man, you do that with a simple, genuine heart. And I tell you what, your life will never be the same because he will melt you. He will melt you. Jesus will melt your heart. He will make you to realize who he is and what he's achieved for us. He, through his Spirit, will bring everything that seems so distant and he will bring it near. He's not bringing to you rules. He's bringing to you a Savior, a change. It's one thing to know about something. It's another thing to taste for yourself. And when you become a Christian, you don't become perfect by any means, but you turn a corner. And you will say, what in the world has happened to me? Everything is new. And in the midst of this hurricane that is going through the world, there will be a smile in your face that if he is for you, who in the world could be against you? And you know, and I understand that it is hard to trust. And I had a dream. I had a day of real anxiety of my heart this past week. I had some symptoms, and obviously it could just be a flu, but obviously with everything that's going on, I just thought, what if it's what it is? And people were falling like flies, and the news were just telling you, he died, and he died, and he died, and all these people died. And then I just thought, Loretta had some symptoms, and I just thought, who's going to have our kids, and what's going to happen? And I had just really, really a moment of anxiety, and I had a dream. I had a dream that I was hanging from a cliff, upside down. And down were probably just 600 meters beneath. And I was holding on to my life for dear life. You know, I was holding on because I knew if I let go of that, I will be dead. But in my dream, I had a parachute. But I was afraid to jump. And I was afraid that the parachute would fail. And I really believe that that dream was from God. Because you see, in a sense, that parachute is the Savior when you're falling. And that the Lord was just saying to me, you're just afraid to let go of certain things in life. You've become so accustomed to them. You're holding on to them because for dear life, because you think that that is the only way that you can stay alive. If you would just let go and just trust me. And I believe he's asking a lot of us to just let go and trust him. And I know it is difficult to trust. And I think the more a person jumps with parachutes and the more that they pack their own parachutes, the more they test the ropes and the more they know about the strength of the ropes and the strength of the stuff, the more confident they are in jumping. In the same way, the more we get to know Jesus, the more confident we become. We don't have to imagine who he is. We can discover who he is. And I want to give us an exhortation to allow him to melt our hearts. Do not harden your heart. Just let him to have his way with you. Pray genuinely to him and ask him, Lord, teach me who you are. And trust him as the Savior that he is in these difficult circumstances, because he is a blessing God. He is a keeping God. He is a smiling God. He is a peace-giving God. He wants to know that day in and day out, every morning and every minute of the day. May God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your grace. And I pray, Lord, that anyone that's listening here today, whether it's live or whether it's afterwards, Lord, through the YouTube, that they would sense, Lord, that you are not the God who just exists at church, that you are the God who is everywhere in the home, that you are near, that you want to bless us beyond what we want to be blessed. Lord, help us to know you better, to know your character truly as you are, not as how we think or we've been taught you are. Help us, Lord, to read your word and make our life, Lord, a discovery of you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God said, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. May God richly bless you. Amen.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart. Yeah.